You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison, and I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the book, The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness, with a wonderful foreword by John Boulieu. And our guests are the wonderful authors of this wonderful project. I was so excited about The Humming Effect. Welcome, authors Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. How are you today?
We are just wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. We are very, very happy to be here with you today.
We're delighted to be here with you and your audience and all past, future listeners.
I have to tell you.
Enlightened and educated.
And I'm not exaggerating, because I was ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic when I heard, the title of the book, The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. And then after reading it, I was just like, wow, what a powerful book. And it's like jam-packed with wonderful information, and it won't take forever to read, which is great. And if I can read just a paragraph from your book, it's on page 2 of your book, for those who are going to run out to buy it. It says, the initial idea for writing a book on humming was to help initiate mainstream audiences into the healing power of their own self-created sound. In our experience, when people hear the words sound healing, their eyes tend to glaze over. They do not know what it is. They think it sounds esoteric, and they are uninterested in learning more. Many people immediately assume that they would have to have some musical ability, whether playing an instrument or singing, to practice sound healing. But humming requires no special skills. Anyone can hum, and anyone can experience the extraordinary benefits that can result from their own self-created sound. This is not to say that humming cannot be musical, but it is not necessary. Humming is simply sound, vibration that we all can use for healing and transformation. I love that. Now, if you would please share with us the first time you realized the power of humming, and what was it about humming that resonated with you?
You know, Andrea, before we share that, which we both will do, I just want to say that you zeroed in on one of just the most profound paragraphs of the book, because we wrote this book so that people could begin to work with such a simple sound as humming, because we knew that everyone can hum, and there's no judgment around humming. You know, people don't go, oh, I'm not a good humming person. No, people hum and love humming. What a beautiful entree into the world of sound.
And I actually was very, very pleased that you read that, how well it was written. So thank you.
Well, all credit goes to the two of you. Just it was just a joy to read that, but it jumped out at me, and I thought it would be perfect to just start off with that.
Well, there's a whole lot of essence of why we wrote the book in that. For myself, you asked about the first time that we hummed. I'm going to tell you actually two experiences. The first one came from the, I'm a child of the Woodstock Nation. This gives you an idea of how old I am. I'm closer to the, I don't know what generation I would be. Well, you know, I was born in...
a baby boomer, honey.
Right, okay. You know, before the year of 1950.
We're not millennials. Please.
No, that means you're a baby. You're in your infancy.
And so, you know, between Andy and myself, I think we've been doing this work for probably close to about 60 years. I've been doing it for about 40 years. And believe it or not, the first person that I ever studied with is the guy who wrote the intro to this book. His name is Dr. John Bouyou, and he's a little older than me, and he's still going. He's got a huge following in Europe, and he has one of the people who's helped bring down tuning forks as a healing modality to this planet. And I remember I took a workshop with him, and the first thing that he had everyone do was to hum. And some of the exercises we kind of included in the book. So that was the first time. That was probably about 40 years ago for me. And then about 25 years ago, I was at this point, I had written a few books, and I was out in Hollywood teaching, and someone had thrown a party for myself and another man who was quite well known at the time by the name of... Dr. John Lilly, who had worked with dolphins, and in fact the movies Day of the Dolphin as well as the movie Altered State were based upon some of his work. And he was at the time about 80 years old, and I was sitting on a back porch with him trying to stay away from the people because it was really a crowded party. And he's sitting there going, and I kind of had been in the field of sound long enough to realize that he was doing something quite special with the sound, but I didn't know, you know, if he was aware of that or not. So I made a mistake. And the mistake was this. Here's a man who'd written probably a dozen really thick books on the concept of consciousness. And I asked him, I said, John, I said, that humming that you're doing, are you doing it consciously or not? And he looked at me and he said, young man, I no longer know what consciousness is. And he then proceeded to give me a half-hour lecture on the subject of consciousness, which was great, but he never actually answered my question. I said, thank you, John. And I got up and I left. But I realized at that point that there was also... that he was using the sound as a really major self-therapeutic tool. And as we talk about in the book, I think also it really stimulates brain cells, and it was something that he discovered a long time ago. So that's my experience. Andy, how about you?
Well, my experience goes back probably, well, from childhood, because I've just always hummed and never really thought much about it, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, could say the same thing, but you just feel good when you're humming. And you can hum a tune, you can just hum, but there's always this really nice resonance that, you know, I would feel. And then when I started working with sound as a healing modality in the, you know, this was probably about 25 years ago, the two of my mentors taught me about humming, and we would do these humming exercises, you know, at the beginning of a workshop, and it was amazing to me. And yet, even way back then, and with Jonathan's experiences as well, you know, we knew how powerful humming really was and is. And at the same time, it took us quite a while to, you know, we'd written other books that were much more complicated, talking about the chakras and sound and so forth. And I guess it must have been about 4 or 5 years ago, and we really, really wanted to write a book that would open up the world of sound more to the generic public, people that didn't know anything about sound. And of course, we said, aha, what is the sound that everybody is able to do and does? And of course, it's humming. And so we thought, okay, let's just jump in and let's start doing the research and let's write a book about humming. The simplest sound is, in fact, the most profound.
So I'm going to interrupt here for a second and suggests that, Andrea, you suggested that it was a relatively thin book, or, you know, pretty easy to read. And
but powerful.
I think it's got 144 pages or maybe even less. And yet, it took us 4 years to write this book.
Right.
Whoa, 4 years. And one of the reasons being, this is actually the first professionally published book that's ever been written on the subject of humming. And among other things, we really, really figure, okay, well, what can we do that will make the subject of humming seem like a valid and interesting thing to people, because they're going to see a book on humming and, you know, maybe they'll pick it up and look at the first chapter. And we really got to grab their attention. And so what we did was, the first chapter is nothing more or less than what they call peer review scientific and medical information on the power of humming. And that was astounding for us and really important, and seems to be really, really important also for people, because once they read this information that came from all these scientific journals about the power of humming, they go, this is real.
Yeah. Well, the exercises you give are also powerful, because then the reader, if they do the exercises, it kind of gives them the actual proof, if you know what I mean. Because when you start humming, you do feel the power, don't you?
Absolutely. And you know, being able to really basically bring, you know, a bit of education into how powerful our sound actually can be. And in part of the scientific research, Andrea, what we found out that when we are humming, and we like to use the term now conscious humming, because once people learn about it, you know, we do have the exercises that they're able to consciously focus on. But when people are humming, there are many physiological benefits that happen, such as there's more oxygen. There's an increased level of oxygen in our cells. Our blood pressure is lowered. Our heart rate is lowered. There are increased levels of melatonin. It releases endorphins, but one of my favorite ones is that it also releases oxytocin, which is the trust hormone, and it reduces levels of stress-related hormones, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later, because my background is as a psychotherapist, and, you know, stress is a huge, huge problem for many of us in our current culture, but humming can reduce stress. It also releases a particular hormone that Jonathan is going to talk about called nitric oxide.
And
it's a molecule.
Nitric oxide is a molecule which is chemically written as NO, so it's no. It's not NO2, which is nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas that they give you in the dentist's office, which is a wonderful tool, but it is not nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator, which means it basically helps among other things, let your veins and your arteries and your whole circulatory system become more fluid and lets the blood flow easier. And it's really a very, very important tool. In fact, John Boyu, who we mentioned before, has done research on the effects of sound to affect the release of nitrous oxide in our blood cells. So we give thanks to John as well as many other people
Yeah, and what I've been really amazed about is that in different literature and pieces of information on health that I've, you know, that have come across my desk in the last several months, nitric oxide is becoming one of those terms that there was even an email on Dr. Oz's newsletter, and he was talking about nitric oxide. And so I think it's coming more into people's consciousness, and the fact that we can increase those levels of nitric oxide by humming is pretty amazing.
Indeed.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, in your book, you say, we're not talking about music now, which many categorize into different genres, such as classical, rock, jazz, and so on. We are simply referring to sound, which is classified as vibration. These vibrations have the ability to heal and transform. So if you can just elaborate on that, because some people would say, well, I hum to music, or is it the same thing?
Well, no. I mean, all right. So since I'm on the air, if I'm going, that's kind of musical because I'm sort of humming a different tune. But if I go, just holding one note on what they call a monotone and not trying to be musical or whatnot, that, you know, that to me is sound. When you start really varying it with different pitches or different rhythms or whatnot, you start getting into the musical aspect, which is fine but not necessary. And, you know, of course, a lot of people, when they hum and they're happy, they'll either whistle a happy tune or hum a happy tune. But we've found that if you just take one particular note that feels comfortable and basically close your eyes, take some nice, slow, deep breaths, and then just hum for, just about 5 minutes, the effects can be profound and extraordinary, Andrea. It's really amazing.
And also, I want to mention to our audience that in our book, we have a chapter on breathing, because taking that nice deep breath that Jonathan was just talking about is really an important component in conscious humming, because we want our bodies to really support our hum and to be relaxed. And when we can begin to take a few nice deep breaths, some nice deep, I like to call them belly breaths, which is diaphragmatic breathing basically, and, you know, really relax our bodies and then begin to hum, it just is overall a very relaxing, stress reducing experience.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So tell us about the power of our own voice.
What would you like to know about the power of our own voice? Because that is a 7-day topic if ever there was one.
I mean, whatever comes into your consciousness. I mean, certainly we could actually talk about your book for hours. Because, but it's true. Because you talk about how, well, you don't really have to sing a melody or hum a melody. So, what is it about the power of our own voice? Because that's what it is, correct? When we hum.
Right, yeah. Well, okay, so Andrea, there are basically two different ways that sound affects us. One of them we are probably, well, we're experiencing even right now, and I'm going to play a little bit of music in a few minutes and just to give people an idea. But that's called psychoacoustics, and it's where the sound goes into our ears, it goes into our brain, and it affects our nervous system, our heart rate, our respiration. This is very, very powerful. But the other one is called vibroacoustics, and that is the power of the sound when it goes and actually causes the vibrations to affect and influence our cells. And probably one of, if not the most powerful vibroacoustic sound that is available is literally the power of the hum. When we hum, we get all sorts of vibrations, not only in our mouth and nose, but the sound can go up into our brain, it can go down into our chest. And in fact, the more that you learn to basically hum and work with the hum, you can literally project the hum to almost any part of your body as a, if you like, an internal massage. And it's extraordinary. Now, the thing is, most people are not aware of this. So what we're simply doing is we're bringing the awareness of this power of sound to people. I'm going to stop for a moment and just say that Andy, my wife, was talking about breath. And literally, most people don't think about it, but obviously there would be no life without breath, and breathing is so very, very important. In fact, Dr. Andrew Weil, not too long ago, he was on a TV show, wasn't he, Andy?
And yeah. And I think it was bringing up Dr. Oz again.
Dr. Oz, okay.
I haven't seen Dr. Oz in quite a while. But anyway, Dr. Andrew Weil was on his show, Dr. Oz's show, and Dr. Oz said, you know, Andy, if you could give our audience just one thing that they could do to improve their health, what would that be? And he said, simply to breathe. And that was such a profound statement, because breathing is just so healing when we really are consciously breathing. And so what Jonathan and I have done is taken it a step further, and we have said, and now on that breath, begin to hum and really get an even deeper aspect of healing.
And what's so interesting about this, Andrea, is that when you do slow, deep breathing and you couple it with humming, as Andy was talking about, the effects are much more powerful than just simply doing the slow, deep breathing. And in fact, I have myself, you know, just using a blood pressure cuff or some of these other things, done that and seen that my heart rate and blood pressure will immensely drop within just a couple of minutes of, you know, if I'm breathing slowly, it'll do one thing, but it'll drop about twice as fast and twice as much for relaxation if I add the hum. And so this is one thing we want to, I mean, look, we're living in a stressed out time now, you know, and I really want to, I know Andy will validate this, say that one of the, if not the easiest and most powerful ways that we can basically chill out and relax ourselves, especially if you're going to go into a meeting or if you've got some sort of anxiety before you're, you know, going to be doing something, is just to sit there, take some deep breaths, and hum for a couple of minutes. Andy, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, Jonathan. And as a holistic psychotherapist, I work with a lot of people who are very stressed out. And I mean, and Jonathan and I mean, everybody is. And even myself, when I feel an overwhelming sense of stress, you know, what I'll do is I'll close my eyes and I'll take some nice deep breaths, and I actually will hum for 2 or 3 minutes even. I mean, 5 minutes is optimal, but that isn't always possible. Even 1 minute, 2 minutes. Once I start humming, honestly, Andrea, my whole body begins to shift and it begins to feel less stressed.
Yeah, and just then, it just instantly relaxes you, right? Pretty much. It doesn't. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what do you find that in addition to making you feel relaxed, that it also can do the opposite in that it gives you energy? Like if you have low energy and you start to breathe and hum, will it help to boost your energy levels as well?
Certainly. I think a lot of it has to do with the intention that you have when you are making the sound.
And that's why we like to talk about conscious humming, because the intention is really important. And I want to mention that I think it was back in the 80s, and Jonathan came up with a formula.
1980s, not 1880s.
Why? It was way back in the 1900s.
Back in the day.
Jonathan came up when he was working on his master's degree in the therapeutic uses of sound at Lesley University in Boston. He came up with a formula, and that formula is frequency plus intent equals healing. So frequency meaning the sound, then intention, you know, what our thoughts are encoded on that sound, those coupled together equal healing. So indeed, if we are consciously humming and we are wanting to de-stress, we can hold that as an intention. If we want more energy, we can hold that as an intention.
It's a really amazing and important phenomena. We, a lot of times, don't realize. In fact, I think we have a chapter on the power of intention in our book talking about, you know, and in, when this first came to me back in the 1980s, and I basically shared it with other scientists, they sort of treated me rather strangely, because the idea or the concept of intention was a little futuristic to them. But now there are many, you can turn on the TV and see a PBS special on intention, or on the power of the placebo effect, or what the biology of belief. I have friends who have written best-selling books on this phenomena, so it's very, very important. So therefore, one of the things that we do when we talk about conscious humming is the first level is just to experience the hum, just to feel it vibrating, because a lot of, you know, people will hum unconsciously, so they won't be really aware of the vibrations of it. And then, you know, so then they begin to feel that it's vibrating here, it's vibrating there, etc. And then the next thing we do is say, okay, so the next level is add an intention on to the hum. And that really shifts and changes it. Now, I'm going to do a little, since you read the book, you probably know that, know this. We put it in the book, but it's something most people don't know. But I'm going to start humming for a moment, and then I'm going to pinch my nose. And hopefully people will realize that there is someone on the air. I just simply will be silent for a moment, because watch. You can't. I just pinched my nose. You can't hum if your nose is pinched, because your nasal cavity is literally vibrating with the sound of hum. Now, most people, even people who have been in the sound healing field for so many years, don't know that. So that's one of the first things that, you know, when we're teaching a workshop for people who say, we're going to not deal with humming, I said, if you think you know about humming, I want you to hum and then pinch your nose. And they do, and all of a sudden there's silence in the workshop. I said, you thought you knew about humming, huh? That's the one little thing, you know. We got more to share with you.
Right. Now, you say that over the years you've seen incredible things with the power of sound, such as tumors disappearing. If you could share with us some of the miracle healings you've witnessed or experienced, you know, whatever you'd like to share.
Well, Andrea, this is one, if you like, aspect that I could say I've seen almost anything occur. I don't want people to perceive that necessarily sound will do that, because A, we are all unique vibratory beings, etc. But I would like to give you a quote from the New York Times. In fact, Andy, would you give this New York Times quote, and then I will comment on it.
Well, this is a very interesting quote. It's, sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure and levitate objects.
So,
and that was from the science section of the New York Times back in 1988. Go ahead, Jonathan.
So if you can literally rearrange molecular structure, I would ask you, Andrea, what sort of conditions could potentially not be healed?
Right. That just about anything could be healed.
About anything could be healed. You know, I don't want to promise people, and if you use sound, you can heal yourself of anything. But it's certainly possible, and I've seen remarkable things.
And not to, I mean, to kind of veer off from that, all the remarkable things, I just want to share something that happened to me just last week. And that is, I had a headache, Andrea, and I thought, oh, I've got to get rid of this headache. You know, I should take an aspirin. And then I went, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start breathing, and I'm going to start humming, and I am going to visualize my humming sound into that part of my head that was feeling that ache, that headache. And I did that. And I am happy to say that my headache was actually alleviated. So that is very anecdotal, but I wanted to share that because, you know, the miracle things that can happen, those things do occur, but just the everyday experiences of having some, you know, hurt somewhere in your body, and you start, you know, visualizing the humming sound going into that part of the body and begin to feel relief. And that is, once again, just, you know, we have that power within ourselves to be able to do that if we only knew it. And we hope that people will begin to know it by
A lot of, you know, the stories that I could tell you would be also anecdotal, meaning that either people have told it to me or things that I've witnessed, but then again, they're not scientifically validated. But there's this wonderful show that Andy and I were watching on Nova, and this one scientist said this one thing that I loved. It was, the plural of anecdote is data. In other words, if enough people observe something over a period of time, it usually turns out to be true. Mm. And one of the things that we have in our book that I think is so very, very important, in fact, we're going to literally call the book by this name rather than The Humming Effect. We're going to call it The Humming Hypothesis, because a hypothesis, if you like, is a theory. And we said, nah, there's like too much really valid stuff that, you know, we will present this theory. And the theory is this. It is my very, very strong knowing, my strong belief, my strong understanding that it is possible to make new connections in your brain, what they call neurogenesis, through humming. And that we are going to find out in the not too distant future that this is actually a very, very powerful way of dealing with neurological disorders. One story that I will share has to do with Andy's mom, who had had a stroke, and she was speaking to us, and her voice was slurred and not quite what it used to be. And so, you know, I said, hey, could you find out from your doctor where in your brain the stroke occurred, and then just hum for 5 minutes? And Andrea, Andy's mom knows that, you know, we're into this strange thing of working with sound as a healing thing. And she said, okay, I'll try it.
She's a good sport.
And so she tried it. And the first day, didn't notice anything. We didn't, you know, we talked to her on the phone. We didn't notice anything. The second thing, we didn't notice anything. The third day, her voice was getting better. By the fourth day, it was back to normal. Now, this could have just been coincidence, but I spoke to a friend of mine who's a neurologist, and he said, well, that's really, you know, it could be coincidental, he said, but I bet you that, you know, that was definitely, you know, a response level. So I think that when the research is finally done, they're going to show that you can literally deal with all sorts of things. In fact, we talk about the potential of using humming to treat all sorts of imbalances, not only stroke, but even Alzheimer's using the hum.
You know what I wanted to ask you? Does it matter whether we softly hum or loudly hum, or also is it possible for us to help someone else by humming to them, for them?
It's a great question.
And I want to just start out by saying that one of our tenets is that louder is not better, and that you don't have to hum loudly for it to make a difference if you just hum softly and you've got that intention of, you know, having that hum, relax your body, you know, help you with the headache, whatever. It does not have to be loud. And I would encourage people to always stay in a comfort zone when they hum, you know, whatever is comfortable for them, and to not strain their voice in any way, but just to stay really in that zone of comfort when they're humming. And so I hope that that is helpful.
That's one aspect. Another aspect is that if somebody else is not humming and you're humming to them, they oftentimes will entrain, which means they will begin to resonate with you, and they will therefore begin to resonate with a hum. There is something that I want to share with your audience now that is, I don't think it's in her book, but we'll share it anyway, and it has to do with the hum. And it's the fact that Andy and I have been together for about 25 years now, and we have learned to use the power of the hum to enhance our relationship. What? Okay. Well, you know, we love each other very much, but, you know, everybody gets into, shall we say, sometimes emotional struggles at times. And, when that happens, we've made an agreement, and we just want to suggest this to everybody who's listening. Make an agreement with your partner that next time, something happens and, you know, you both show up at a party and you got into an argument and neither one of you wants to go inside because you're both so angry at each other, instead of shouting at each other, you simply say, hey, let's do a couple of hums together. And you go, And Andrea, I'll just tell you that you do this for about 2 minutes, and all of a sudden, all that anger just dissipates. I don't know if it's because of the release of oxytocin or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're no longer angry. And we have so many times we rarely get into times of argument, but so many times when we've hummed together, it's just we literally look at each other and we smile and go, honey, I love you, and that's it. So humming literally can be used as a therapeutic tool between two people who are in disagreement.
Yeah, you know, you answered my question, because I was going to ask you, when you do that, do you start laughing? You know, it's funny how you're feeling this anger, you're really upset, and then you hum, and then you laugh when you come out of the hum. So it really softens the anger, really, or makes it really go completely away, correct?
It really does. And the important piece in all of this is that couples need to make the agreement way ahead of time before they're ever in any kind of, you know, stress or argument. Because that way, then I know with Jonathan and myself, you know, we made that agreement, honey, if this happens, we're going to just, one of us, please have the, you know, the foresight to say, let's hum, so that then when it actually happens, one of the people in the couple can just say, let's hum, and we hold hands, even if we're really mad and we don't want to, we do it, and we start humming, and we do that for a few minutes, and yes, indeed, Andrea, there have been times where we have started laughing and realized how silly we had been being so angry.
Right, because what is the natural response when you're angry is to shout at each other, and what does that do? That does nothing more or less than escalate your anger and makes it worse, but by humming, it literally dissipates it and, like, you know, puts water on the fire and puts it out. It's an extraordinary, it's simple, and it's like, wow, how could something simple be so profound? But it is. It's so profound.
And then, so I'm thinking here that the power of one person just sitting there and just humming and just totally releasing all the negative energy from the day, the stress, and they're relaxed, they're blood pressure's not high. And then I'm thinking the power of say, two people like you, the two of you sitting there and just humming, and the power of two. And then I'm thinking, well, what if there are like 100 people or more than that in a room, and everyone's kind of into their own space, into their own sound, but everyone's humming, and the power of the group hum, you know?
We recently did that. We were teaching a workshop, and we began the workshop with this thing. We had about 100 people there, and we teach very advanced stuff with sound. It's a step-by-step process of vibratory activation, but I have to tell you that this is the first thing, and everybody in the room got so literally blown away, blissed out, and it was like we created this field of consciousness that was one of really compassion and love, that I'm going, oh my goodness gracious, how are we going to top this? We've got 2 days to do. And we were basically, I think we ended it with a hum as well. But,
we
You know, one of the things we also work on is the fact that when you hum, you get heart rate variability, which is a synchronization of your heart and your brain. And it's one of the most powerful ways that this can occur. There are breathing techniques and there are instruments, but literally humming has been shown to be about as powerful as it gets. And one of the things that heart rate variability does is that there is a field that we create, and this is scientifically measurable. It's an electromagnetic field. A lot of people know that our brain puts out an electromagnetic field, but our heart does too. And when we have this heart-brain coherence, is what they call it, the field can be anywhere from 50 to 500 to even 5,000 times greater than normal. And at times we have done, had people hum together and then put their intention with the idea that they're going to be projecting this hum. So it basically interfaces with the, what they call the electromagnetic field of our planet, the Schumann resonance, the ionosphere. And it has been literally scientifically shown that we can interface with the, if you like, field of the planet. Now, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's special. You know what I'm wondering? When you start humming, do you ever start just with a simple hum and then find yourself humming a melody to a song? Does that happen? Periodically?
It certainly could. Usually, I personally am a monotone hummer, which means I go, because oftentimes if I start going, all of a sudden I begin to get carried away, and it's a wonderful feeling, but I don't feel the vibrations and the intention of the that I was going to be doing sort of gets lost because I get too much into the having fun with the melody, which is great fun. And I'm not saying don't do it, but personally, when I want to do a really deep and powerful resonance, vibratory resonance, I will usually just stick on one note. That's for me personally.
And I think that just in terms of sharing with your audience just about humming, just start humming. And, you know, if you're going to hum a song, great. And then if you want to go more into conscious humming and just see what happens with that, but just begin and start humming, because I just know that it will be end up being a very profound experience just to begin. So I hope the information that we're sharing today is going to give people that opening to say, hey, yeah, I think I'm going to just try a little humming.
Yeah. I wasn't at all suggesting that people don't hum a melody or do that sort of thing.
Not.
But it's different humming just one note for a continued period of time, and it's something most people haven't experienced, and I could get into the science of it, but basically, if you're just basically hitting one note, the vibroacoustic effect, because it doesn't shift and change, is so powerful.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to mention, too, that in our book, we have different levels of humming, so we do start out in a very, very easy, simple way, and then we get just a little bit more, you know, another layer where, you know, you'd have your intention, another layer, and there's even a powerful yogic humming technique that we have included in the book. So you can start out and then, you know, build on, you know, what you're beginning with. So just start humming.
Yeah, I guess it's important to not overthink it, correct?
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that, Andrea. Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just beautiful. So, I mean, there's so much in the book. People should really get it. And then you also have a download available.
Yeah.
If you can tell us about that.
Well, I mean, as strange as it may seem, we created an instructional download for people just to, you know, if they wanted to hum along, and we give them, you know, different ways of humming, or humming up and down your spine, stuff like that. And then we have the constant hum, which is a basically just the sound of about 1,000 people. Wow. Yeah.
Humming.
Humming and for about 10 minutes, and it's really, really good to hum along with.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, people can download the instructional part of our book. And of course, I want to just mention that we have a ton of information on our website, which is healingsounds.com. People can get our book there. They can also get our book on Amazon. And so there's a lot of places where, you know, you can get more information about humming and about sound in general.
Yeah, it was, believe it or not, I was amazed when it first came out. It was a bestseller on Amazon for a couple of months. It just flipped me out because I just thought, oh, my goodness gracious. And what's so wonderful is that we're seeing more and more evidence of people utilizing humming in their work, not only from, you know, emails and various types of texts and stuff that we get, but in articles that we're seeing and, you know, reports from other people that didn't exist before. So we know that people are reading our book.
Yeah.
And it's making a huge effect, and we are so grateful for that.
Now, what do you say to someone who says, my voice is awful? What do you say to them? I'm sure you've heard that. You don't, you know, I can imagine someone saying, you don't want to hear me hum.
You know what? And the real beauty of humming is that it, you don't even have to have any kind, as long as you have a voice, you're okay to hum. And the beautiful part of humming is that it truly is a very non-judgmental, and if someone were to say that, I would just say, oh, just hum, because you know what? There is nothing wrong with anybody's hum.
But I got to say that I actually don't know that I've heard people say, I can't whistle, I can't sing, I can't chant, I can't. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I can't hum.
I don't know,
you know. But, you know, if you do send them to me, I'll go, really? Because, like, you know, I mean, that's the one, that was why we chose the sound. I have never met anybody who's judgmental about their hum. They may be judgmental about all sorts of other things. And by golly, all those wonderful TV shows that, you know, have us pick the best singer in the world has made people more and more self-conscious about whether or not they can sing in tune or not. But nobody ever gets self-conscious about basically making a hum, particularly if you're just making a hum in what it's called a monotone or I mean, how can you do that wrong? It doesn't matter if you go,
It's impossible to hum in a wrong way.
So everyone can hum. That's what you say, right? Everyone can hum.
Absolutely.
Now, if you could just tell our audience about the fire walk you did without getting burned, you have to share that story.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Where did that come from? Okay, sure. Really quickly, back in the 1980s, when I first became introduced to this, I was at something called the Maine Healing Arts Festival, and there was a fire walk, and for some reason, talking about the power of belief, I just always knew that I could walk on fire. There are a lot of things that I knew that I can't do and I don't do, but I always knew that I could walk on fire, so that at the time, they were teaching a half-a-day workshop on different mantras and different ways of visualization and stuff like that, and then they would basically take these hot coals, spread them out, and people would walk over them. And I basically cut in line, and I walked over the fire because I knew I wouldn't get burnt, and I didn't get burnt. But what's interesting is the person walking behind me walked across the hot coals, and for one brief second, they thought, I can't be doing this, and they got a slight burn, but it actually covered the entire bottom of their foot. So showing the power of belief.
Mm, yeah, that is powerful. Wow. I love your work on humming. Do you have anything to share that we have not covered? And do you have any closing reflections? I'm going to also play a bit of your hum from one of your audio tracks, just a little bit of it. I think the full length is about 17 minutes, but I'm not going to play.
Just a few minutes. But you know what I would like to share with our audience, Andrea, is a quote by Dr. Bruce Lipton, who is actually the best-selling author of The Biology of Belief. And we have, he was kind enough, he's a dear colleague and friend, and he wrote a beautiful quote, and it says, I highly recommend the humming effect for all those impacted by the stress of the modern world. It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for healing that has only positive side effects. And I love to leave our audience with that thought, because humming can be so powerful and helpful as a healing tool, that we ourselves have the power within ourselves to do without needing to go out to a therapist or get help. You can do it just by yourself,
nice,
anytime, almost anywhere.
Right. And I like to say that we heal ourselves and we heal the planet. We heal the planet and we heal ourselves. We have a choice, and we can make a difference.
And I would just like to say happy humming to everyone. And Andrea, this has just been a delight to be on your show. Thank you so much.
It's been so special. So with the two of you hum, I love the two of you humming, you know, just a quick, just the two of you. You've got that harmony thing going.
Oh, here we go.
It's love. More because it feels so good.
Andrea, would you do the last hum with us?
Come with us, okay?
Okay.
It feels so good, okay?
Here we go.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, that's lovely. And I'm going to close out after I do my close with the constant hum. Do you have anything to say about that? I'm just going to play a little bit of that.
Literally, it's the sound of a sonic experiment I did one day, and I just collected the sound of people humming on various instruments, and I put them all together, and there must be 1,000 different people humming on this one thing, and it's what they consider sort of pink or white noise. It's, you know, but it's a great soundtrack to just hum with. If you feel at all self-conscious, put that in the background. You won't be able to hear yourself, but you'll be able to feel the vibrations. It's kind of cool.
Well, you know, it was so funny. It was so funny when the two of you were humming, and then at the end I said, good.
I love it.
I said, that's great.
No.
Well, so for more information on your wonderful work, people should go to healingsounds.com and healingartspress.com. Is that correct?
Well, healingsounds.com is basically the one. The other one is the book company. But I don't know if the last one is a correct website. Maybe it is.
But healingsounds.com, and sounds is plural, so healingsounds.com, and that's our website, and lots of good information there for sure.
It has been great, so thank you so very, very much to you, to all your listeners. Really, we're just suggesting that you try humming a little bit. It feels good. You'll feel good, and it'll make a difference in your life.
So many blessings of love and light through sound to you, Andrea, and all of our listeners today.
Well, thank you so much. It's a real pleasure embracing you and your work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 I would like to thank our guests, Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman, for being here to discuss the book, The Humming Effect: Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. For more information, please visit healingsounds.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care and enjoy the hum.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.